Retired meteorologist Hugh Johnson is joining us to talk about the weather, tornadoes, and in particular, the Mechanicville tornado that ripped through the area 25 years ago. Welcome, Hugh Johnson.
Hello, Hugh. You there?
I'm here. Yes. So Mechanicville tornado. Yes. You want me to talk about the setup? I mean, it was 25 years ago. It was actually tomorrow. The day before was actually pretty nice, but it was a very powerful jet stream across the country, a very strong system, big tornado outbreak in the Dakotas, a derecho, which was a very strong line of thunderstorms that night across the Great Lakes. And that moved over our area, weakened, but produced all kinds of boundaries. At the same time, a very strong low came up the Ohio Valley, pulled a warm tongue of air into our area, very strong shear aloft, and the rest was history. We had a large number of thunderstorms that day, and unfortunately, the one deadly tornado, Mechanicville, EF3, destroying 68 homes. Luckily, no fatalities, but I really believe that the Weather Service has some credit for that, and other media for putting out warnings, the broadcast media, because we were on top of it, and it was the right time of day. It wasn't night. It was around 4 in the afternoon, and it was a pretty long track tornado that actually ended up going into Vermont. And there were two other tornadoes in the area, one very close to the airport and one down in Rensselaer County in Scaticoke. In Columbia County as well, but the really bad one was in Mechanicville. There was 46 warnings issued that day, I believe, and almost every one of them verified, at least with wind damage, some hail and the three tornadoes. And it was an epic day for sure.
Sounded like an epic day.
How much warning were you able to give to the residents?
I think the lead time on the Mechanicville was excellent. I believe I did not actually work the event. I should probably point that out. I was one of the few meteorologists who was home, but I, certainly got privy to all the information. But it was over a half hour. They issued a warning. It spun up. There was it looked really like a classic tornado. Then it weakened and then it redeveloped. I believe right as it got to near Mechanicville. So they kept the warning going. So there was plenty of warning, and a lot of people saw the green sky. It was I think it was rain wrapped, but I don't know if anyone actually saw the final. It might have been one or two pictures of the tornado, but they saw the green sky. That they heard the freight train sound and the warning. They put the three things together and they took action.
Good work.
And so, and how common and how frequently can we get tornadoes in our area?
Well, we get tornadoes generally in our county warning area, which consists of 19 counties from Hamilton County all the way down to Litchfield County in Connecticut, across the Mid-Hudson Valley, Dutchess, and Ulster. We generally get one or two tornadoes a year, mostly small, not EF3s. It's very rare to get what we consider a violent tornado. That's extremely rare. But a couple of years ago, I think we had over 10 tornadoes in our county warning area. Most of them were very small. I think one or two were EF1s or 2s, but no 3s. We haven't had a 3 since Duanesburg in 2014, but that was a very brief EF3. It didn't cause the damage that Mechanicville did. That was one of the worst ones that hit our area.
What are the weather conditions needed to create the possibility for a tornado?
Okay, very, very good question. Well, you definitely want to have instability in the atmosphere, which we get with a lot of moisture and heat, or the combination of the two. It doesn't have to be real hot. If it's humid, that can make up for it. But you have cold air aloft, generally a cold or dry air aloft. But in addition, you need some kind of shear or change in wind direction to help rotate thunderstorms, okay? But even what studies have shown in our office and others is that you want some kind of boundary that rotation kind of latches on, and it kind of intensifies it. That boundary I'm talking about could be an old a boundary from thunderstorm outflow boundary, a frontal system, or some other type of boundary. It could be a sea breeze front or a lake breeze front. But in the day of the Mechanicville tornado, there were boundaries all over the place. And also, the warm front itself acted as a boundary. The warm front was just to the north of Mechanicville, and that probably helped produce more spin in the atmosphere. So everything came together that day, and it was well forecast. It was the only time that our area was under what they considered high risk for severe weather ever, basically a high risk major severe weather event. I think it's the only time it's ever happened in the history of our area that this SPC put us under, the warning forecast people down in Washington, D.C. They put us in that high risk category.
Were they telling anybody to evacuate or what were measures that they were taking to protect people?
Well, here's the thing. Okay, so what we do is we generally put out, and this worked out pretty well with the Pinconningville tornado, that big super outbreak. You look a couple days ahead, you say, geez, it looks like it's going to be something pretty bad today, and you put out an outlook on it, and you kind of alert people that way. And then the next thing is the day of the actual tornadoes is a convective outlook. And again, if you're in high risk, that means you really should be prepared for something bad, but you don't have to evacuate yet or take shelter. But then a tornado watch came out earlier that day. And again, you, at that point, it's within an hour or two that the severe weather is expected. And you literally are supposed to keep an eye to the sky. That's the idea of a watch. But when you get a warning, especially a tornado warning, that's when you take action. Or if you see it coming from a distance, if you actually see it, either go to your basement if you have one. If you don't, you go to the room with the most pipes, which happens to be a bathroom. You get there, and if you're in a mobile home, you get the heck out. You do not stay in a mobile home, but you have to give it a couple minutes. So, I mean, you don't want to, and when the thing's coming and you only have a minute or two, then it becomes like, and then you have to play with what's more important, what the greater risk is, staying or going. But hopefully you have a little more lead time, and that's so you can actually evacuate. That's when you evacuate, when you're in a mobile home. You don't want to be in a mobile home in a tornado. No way, no how. But for most of us, and actually, if you have a really powerful tornado like an EF4 or 5, there's a chance you won't even survive in a regular house. An EF3, luckily, no one was killed, as we said, some injuries. But, basically, you want to take shelter, and that's the thing you want to do. You only be down there for a few minutes. I mean, there's been stories of people staying there overnight and all that. But tornado is a very quick thing. It lasts minutes, and this, and by the way, these tornadoes, I believe, were moving at like 50 miles an hour, like interstate speed. They were moving with a very strong jet.
Are there chances of tornadoes increasing in the coming decades?
Well, with climate change, a good question. I think the jury's still out on that. I think what's happening is we're getting a shift in the tornado alley. It used to be right across Oklahoma, Kansas, up through the plain states there, the bread basket. It's shifting south and east. That's one thing, and that's the area that gets the most frequent tornado. As far as the northeast, what I think is happening is you're getting more like abnormally strong systems that occasionally produce them, like the 98 one. And we've had a couple even in the winter, which is a little unusual. So I think you're getting a little bit more in that way, but overall numbers not necessarily going up. But I think you're going to be stronger systems with more moisture, and that could lead to some additional, more maybe stronger tornadoes. So the trend is probably going to at least be what it has been, maybe up a little bit over the years. That'd be my take on it.
With about 30 seconds left, can you please give us our weekly forecast? Will it include a good chance of rain?
Well, a fair chance of rain Friday night or on Saturday morning with a backdoor front. But before then, we're going to heat up one more time. We're going to get up in the 90s, it looks like, on Thursday and Friday. And then thunderstorms, scattered thunderstorms, look like a good bet late Friday into early Saturday, as I talked to you about that front coming through. Hopefully not an all-day thing on Saturday. I got an event I want to go to. But, we'll have to see how long these showers linger. But we do need the rain. So, unfortunately, if it comes on a weekend, that's the way it happens. And then it's going to get cooler. Everything's going to retrograde, go to the west. The ridge is going to go to the west, and we're going to get a northwesterly flow and eventually a northeasterly flow. We're going to cool it down big time next week. So don't get too used to the summer weather. But, yeah, it's going to be turning quite toasty this week.
Sounds like it. Thank you, Hugh Johnston, for joining us.
You've got to have a great evening.
You too. Bye-bye. That was retired meteorologist Hugh Johnston. Tune in next Monday for another conversation with Hugh Johnston with Bria Barthel and Alicia Washington.